Hello, everyone, and welcome to a podcast exclusive here on the Cycling Dane podcast. And today we are talking about the Vuelta San Juan International, the very prestigious race in Argentina that normally is one of the early big races outside of Europe. Today, I'm also joined by a special guest, as you've known. That's a stupid one. I'm not alone today. I'm joined by Patrick of Aldo Cycling. Great to have you here, Patrick. And we're certainly going to be discussing the race in depth. Can you hear that, by the way?
Yeah. Oh, I hear what?
Fucking noise.
Oh, if it's something outside, I can't hear it.
Okay, let's try it. Today, I'm not alone. I'm joined by Patrick of Aldo Cycling. And Patrick, great to have you here. And do make sure to check out his article and video as well on Aldo Cycling, as always. And where does kind of this race sit for you in memory and as a cycling fan?
God, I mean, I can only ever really remember watching it. I think it's the last time it was on in 2020. I remember sitting in a uni dorm room, you know, watching early season racing because you're just so keen to watch any bike racing early on. So it's good memories because I just like racing early season. I just kind of lap it all up. So any racing at this time of year, I'm all over it.
Yeah, you're right. It is one of the more underappreciated races. I kind of remember Nairo Quintana doing quite well in this race, and a certain Argentinian rider also managing to outdo the highest end pros a few years ago. Diaz, I think his name was. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, that aside, today we are, of course, going to be discussing the route, the favorites, some of the outsiders, and giving our predictions of the race. And Patrick, what does the route have in store for the riders for the 2023 edition of the Vuelta a San Juan International?
Well, this year is going to be filled with a lot of sprinting action, which is great to see considering that we've got a lot of top quality sprinters here, which we'll be going into later on. And then we also have on stage 5, there is the big GC showdown up the Alto Colorado up to over 2,600 meters, which is where Miguel Angel Flores won back in 2020. And then we're going to round out with stages 6 and 7 with some more sprinting as well. So there's going to be plenty to analyze in terms of like lead out train structure and who's the best sprinter, who's looking really good early season, and try and create a bit of a hierarchy in terms of sprinters in the early season. So expect a lot of fast men doing quite well throughout this race.
Well, we might as well dive into the favorites, and where best to start with the world champion and defending champion, Remco Evenepoel. He's achieved so much since his last victory back in 2020 in this race. And quite a strong team that they're bringing. Fabio Jakobsen also on that team, and his lead out men are Peter Siri and Mikel Merku. And Patrick, what do you think of Sudal Quickstep's team and the chances of Remco to replicate this overall victory?
I think he's got a good chance of doing it. Of course, last time in 2020, he had the advantage of a time trial to get some seconds ahead of his pure climbing competitors. But this year, he's going to have to be more reliant upon his incredible climbing skills, which he, of course, developed during his Vuelta win last year, backed up by a new Domestique, which Sudal Quickstep have brought in for this year, Jan Hurt, who did really well in the Giro last year. So we'll have to try and see how they pair up. I think he will be incredibly influential going into the high altitude finish alongside Peter Seri. And I'm looking forward to seeing what Jan Hurt and Evenepoel are going to be like as a duo, because I think there are big hopes that Jan Hurt is going to be this super domestique, kind of like how Wout Poels has been for Chris Froome of the past, for example. So I think it's going to be a very strong outfit to try and beat. And there's probably only a couple of teams which I think could really rival the strength of Sudal Quickstep in this race, which I presume we'll go into next.
Yeah, I think you touched on a very strong point with Jan Hurt, that there is so much expectation on him. How do you think this dynamic is going to fare? He was so good at the Giro, like we mentioned before. But do you think he can slot it? Is he the magic marker, you know, or the magic piece in the Remco puzzle for the Giro d'Italia this year?
Think he could be. It's hard to say, of course, without having seen anything so far, but it is what Evenepoel has perhaps been missing. I think that perhaps Quickstep were hoping that somebody like perhaps Ilan Van Wilder might fulfill that role, but perhaps he hasn't developed quite as quickly as they were expecting. So they've had to bring somebody in who's perhaps a bit more experienced and has got good results in the past, who can sort of slot into that role. And I think Jan Hirt does provide that. After all, he has been incredibly good at climbing the last few years. Just look back to his stage win at the Giro last year. He was sixth in GC in the Giro last year. And I think he could fulfill what Evenepoel needs and will likely fit into their team, which they're going to be taking to the Giro, which will include a lot of the riders which they had at the Giro, at the Vuelta last year. So I think that Jan Hirt could certainly provide what Evenepoel is going to be needing in terms of a Super Domestique.
I mean, how should our Quickstep going to be balancing this Fabio Jakobsen role as well? The half the team essentially going to Remco, the other half going to Jakobsen. And last time they actually were at the San Juan International back in 2020 when he won it, the team was made up of Alaphilippe, Remco Evenepoel, Alvaro Hodge, sprinter Peter Seri, who's in the team now. And also Stenik Stibar, as well as Bert van Leerbergen. So, similar dynamic there in a way.
Yeah, I think the team is very similarly built this time around, except for Jan Hirt, who will provide the mountain support. It is still quite sprinter oriented as well. And I think it's something which we're going to see through a lot of these teams is that they have a GC and also a climber, like a GC and a sprinter focus in this race. And I think that it should be fine considering that Jakobsen and Morkov is very strong, and then they've got some good a good rouleur in Yves Lampaert. But I think you will certainly perhaps see Jan Hirt, for example, on the front of the peloton on some of the sprinter stages, trying to keep the breakaway in check and almost use riders a little bit out of what they would usually be used. So Jan Hirt might be used as a controlling the breakaway sort of rider, and then we're going to have to use Seri as more of a kind of fifth from last man. You might even see Evenepoel getting involved in the lead out. We saw that quite a few times in the early season last year in some of like the Spanish stage races where he was gapping the likes of Lampaert in a lead out. So I would also expect Evenepoel, considering he is a very good rouleur as well, to get involved in the lead out and almost serve as a bit of a dual purpose.
Yeah, I think you're completely right. The wolf pack mentality is probably gonna show itself in all the stages, and they're gonna try and win as much as possible. But moving on to one of the other big favorites team coming with a very hefty team indeed. The runner up of last year is one of them. Last edition is one of them, Philippe Bogana, which is a bit surprising when you look back at the records. But Ineos Grenadiers, Patrick. Headed up, we would say, with a very South American flavor mixed in with two Italians of Ghana, as mentioned, and Elia Viviani. But as you said, they have this dynamic of not quite committing to sprinter or the mountain terrain. They've got a bit of both. Dani Martinez, Jonathan Navarez, and Brendan Riviera, former Monegasque rider. I'll just mention that as well, but he rides for Colombia now. And Egan Bernal, who everyone's very excited to see if he can get back to the lofty heights of 2021, 2019. And yeah, what do you think of Ineos Grenadiers and their chances?
I think they probably provide a stronger GC outfit compared to Quickstep, for sure. And but then they also suffer because they don't have as strong of a perhaps rouleur-esque. I think that Viviani will likely be led out by a Ganna and Jonathan Navarez, for example. I'm just not sure how a Martinez or a Bernal is going to fit into that. I am intrigued to see what Bernal's going to be like. because I expect he's still on his sort of road of recovery at the moment, because he had that bad crash. It was nearly around this time last year. I think it was about this time last year. So it would be good to see him perhaps. I don't expect him to be doing anything spectacular, but it'd be good to see him just coming back and just doing something, even though he had his big comeback kind of at the end of last year, but really start to get his teeth sunk into some racing. I think realistically, their GC hopes would lie with somebody like a Danny Martinez, but we have seen Ganna do well in GC in this race in the past, because of the low kind of gradients of the climbs. He's can hang on with the draft benefits. So I certainly think they've got a couple of GC options here, but I think they will suffer in the support of Viviani, who will probably struggle to be as well positioned as, say, a Jakobsen, for example.
Yeah, I think you're right with that. And where do you think Ineos Grenadiers sees this race as kind of their objectives in a way? And where do you see them being competitive in every single stage and potentially nabbing a few stages here and there? Or what is their role as a team? Did they ride for Ghana again? There's no time trial, like you said, with Remco, so.
It's hard to say. I think it's going to be hard to win this race, but I certainly think that considering that Ineos do have, as you said, quite a South American quadrant to their whole squad, that it would be relatively important for them to do quite well in these South American races, because there is probably quite a large following down there, and their star riders doing well in, a local region. I know it's not a Colombia or a Ecuador, for example, but it's South America. So certainly the fan base down there will be a bit more enthusiastic, let's say. And I think that they will certainly aim to try and get on the podium in this race, but realistically, how are they going to manage that alongside trying to get Viviani in the sprints? Because Viviani in the past, season or two hasn't shown perhaps the fastest of sprints that we've seen from him in the past. So whether they might try and push a bit more towards a GC focus as opposed to going for Viviani in the sprints, realizing that, going up against Jakobsen is relatively hard as it is with a Viviani. So maybe they're being a bit more realistic and going for a more of a GC focus and trying to get, I'd say, at least a rider on the podium would be a good expectation for them.
Which rider that would be, who knows? But Danny Martinez would definitely be my top pick of that team. But time will tell. And also in our predictions later on. So make sure to hang around for that. But Patrick, shifting our attention to more of a German focus, still have a South American, Bora Hansgrohe. Again, the dual team, like you said, Sergio Gita looks like he's going to be their focus in the mountains. He showed that he kind of elevated himself somewhat with the Bora move, getting that overall victory in the Volta a Catalunya. Recently, he also got the most competitive KOM in Colombia, apparently on Strava, which shows the sign of his form. But the elephant in the room here, the Irish one, Sam Bennett's here. And how do you see this going? Are Bora more a team that follow the punches rather than dictating the pace in the mountains, but in the sprints with the likes of Ryan Mullen, Danny van Poppel, they're a bit more of a explosive unit or a potent unit, you would say.
Yeah, almost the flip of Ineos in a way, because we went from Ineos being really GC focused to Bora, who are quite sprint focused. And yeah, Higita is probably going to be quite isolated, but because there is only really one big GC stage, I'd expect, and I presume they're expecting, that other teams will take up the mantle of pace setting, and therefore Higita will just ride the coattails and with a very strong punch will likely try and kind of nab them at the line, which would probably seal a GC victory at that point. And yes, I think their sprint is probably the one which is going to rival Quickstep the most, considering that a Mullen, a Van Poppel, who is touted as one of the best, if not the best, lead out men in the world, him versus more Kvyat is going to be very interesting as well. And Bennett showed in the Vuelta last year. I was very guilty last year of perhaps writing Bennett off, but he won two stages of Vuelta last year. I mean, I know he DNF'd the race, but it still shows that he does have very fast sprinting legs. And alongside also, we've got Jonas Koch in there, who's also a very kind of strong, fast man as well. He'll also add more horsepower to the lead out. And I think you could argue that Bora and Soudal Quickstep, those are the premier lead outs in this race. So I think that Bora would be expecting at least maybe like one or two stage wins from a Bennett and also a high GC placing from Higita. That would probably be a realistic expectation for Bora.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair assessment. And yeah, if we just shift our focus to, well, we'll probably end our conversation there about the favorites. There's not too many other riders that you could kind of throw in the hat, really. But there is a certain rider that we're going to talk about, a rider who was sacked from a team that is in this race, Astana Kazakh team. And it is, of course, the Colombian Miguel Angel Lopez, who is now riding for the Team Medellin EPM team. And yeah, Patrick, this is one of the more interesting stories of the 2023 season. Astana getting rid of Miguel Angel Lopez, replacing him with Mark Cavendish. And now he's riding on the continental level. So this is really one of the big races for him of his season where he can actually prove himself against World Tour still. He is one of the premier Grand Tour riders, as he's shown.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I am really looking forward to seeing what Lopez is going to do here because I think he's going to really have the bit between his teeth. He's going to be, let's face it, you'd be quite annoyed if you were in his scenario. And the fact that he has the opportunity to go up against his old team and can absolutely just thrash them on some of on the mountaintop finish. I reckon he must be actually quite excited to start this race and to really just show people that he is still World Tour quality. And also, you know, all you World Tour teams, you've missed out here by not, you know, giving me a chance. And I think that, like you say, this is going to be a very big target for the team because they don't get invites to big races very often. So therefore, this is going to be a big objective for the team. And it's very possible that Miguel Angel Lopez is, you know, fully hitting a like a fitness peak just for this race to just target one stage. And I think that it's very possible that he could very well be finishing on the podium, if not more, in this race, because the team is almost certainly built around him, don't you think?
Yeah, we have got the, yeah, well, you would be stupid enough not to do that with a class of him in your team. But they also have the two-time now podium finisher in the last two editions, Oscar Silva. And you'd be forgiven to if you didn't know who this rider was. He's 46 years old. He has had doping incidents, let's say, and he spent most of his twilight, well, I don't know what you call beyond 40 because most riders don't cycle beyond 40, but he's built a career for him in kind of the South American continental teams. And yeah, Patrick, we don't for a second, we can't entertain the thought that they're going to be riding for Oscar Silva and Miguel Angel Lopez is second fiddle. It's definitely the Miguel Angel Lopez show here, but it certainly is an interesting rider to be on the team. Doping things aside.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's just one of those riders who, yeah, you just think, oh, this is, you know, this is the last hurrah. But then every year they always seem to pull out just some good results, and you just think, well, maybe that's not the end of it. It's a bit like Valverde. You're just not really too sure, you know, when he was going to stop because they just kept pulling out good results. And although I do think that more than likely he should be playing a domestique role. Who knows? Maybe he'll just get excited and try and finish inside the top 10 as well. But it's certainly going to be worthwhile having him, considering that he does have the experience of racing in this race and doing well in this race before. Because I can't remember if Lopez has done this race before, but you know, this he's obviously finished up this climb before. The The really kind of tall, no, like really high altitude. So he'll be able to kind of tell Lopez perhaps a couple of like hints and stuff as to what to sort of do on that climb. Not saying that Lopez doesn't know what he's doing, but it's always useful to have the wise words of somebody else who's done really well in the race in the past. So I do think he should be a domestique, but you don't know. Maybe he might not.
Yeah, maybe his ego won't allow him, but who knows? 46 years young, and yeah, we'll see what he can do if he can impact the race in any way for Miguel Angel Lopez. But nevertheless, before we kind of go into our predictions as well, we should mention that Astana, potentially Harold Tejada could be their leader in the mountains and do something, really step out of the shadow of other riders. That could be very interesting. But in terms of sprinting, we've touched on numerous sprinters already. One rider we haven't mentioned so far, kind of falling into the shadows in a sad way in World Tour riding, bit of a light in last year, but Peter Sagan, how do you rate his chances here? Fantastic rider, we know, but he hasn't reached the same heights as he's had incidents with COVID as well, I believe. Speaking of that, Gaviria is here with his new team for Movistar. So, riders of 2017, are they on their back, coming back?
Well, I would like to see Sagan doing well here. I think everybody's a bit of a fan of Sagan, the showmanship that he brings to races. And I think he certainly has a really good chance on the third stage, up to the Autodromo du Vesium, which is where Stibar won in 2020. It's on like a racetrack. And it's got a bit of a kick going up into the circuit. So I certainly think that Sagan would be quite keen for that stage, considering that he is probably more of a versatile sprinter. That's what he's been touted for throughout his career. So I think that Sagan would be more suited towards that stage than any others, which are perhaps just more pure flat sprints. So I think that he should still be competitive here. And I think that, Sagan will continue to be competitive throughout, this season. He is only 32. It's kind of easy to think that he's just absolutely past it and he's never going to get a result again. I think that he is very competitive. Even when you look back to last year, he finished seventh at the World Champs road race, and he's not past it by any means. He's just occasionally, especially last year, throughout all of his COVID cases, which I swear there was about three of them, it might have just been a bad year, and perhaps this could be a year which kind of the fire is restoked within the Sagan camp. So hopefully he does something in this race, but his team, he does have his trusty Bodnar and Daniel Oss around him, the kind of the three musketeers. So he does have that, I don't know, the good vibes around him to do well. So hopefully we do see something from Sagan. And yeah, Gaviria is a bit of a, I don't really know what to expect from Gaviria. He does have a lead out man in Albert Torres, who's more of a track man, but I'm not sure how he's going to do at Movistar. They're not really particularly touted as a sprinter team, so how much support he'll get is a little bit unknown.
I think also we should mention Quinn Simmons is going to be here, the kind of one of the bright stars for the next generation of the USA team. Actually has an incredible, managed to do two spectacular things last year, winning the Mountains jersey in both Tirreno Adriatico and the Tour de Suisse, which is quite strange considering the rider he is. And obviously he was very strong in Strade Bianche, and maybe he can, well, maybe it's too early in his season, maybe he's looking more down the line, but certainly someone that could on his day impact or shake up the race a bit.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. He is probably the fastest rider, which they have as Trek Segafredo. You could also say they have Aberystwyth here as well. Perhaps they might go for him instead, and Simmons is more of a lead out. But I would be more excited as a spectator to see what Quinn Simmons could do as a actual bunch sprinter in a way, even because we've never really seen that from him. Yeah, we've seen that he is quite versatile. And I think it'll just be good to see what he can do in that sense because he is still very young It does seem like he's been on the scene for quite a while now, and I think that's just the case with how cycling is with all these youngsters coming in. But I'm intrigued to see what Quinn Simmons could do. He's probably one of the most dangerous riders which Trek have in this race, if not just in their roster, full stop.
Yeah, I think you're right. I absolutely agree with everything you said there. But so that's very boring. But going now to our final part of our preview, make sure to check out Patrick's channel as well, Aldo Cycling. The link's down below, of course. And yeah, Patrick, if we're going to say top three here, very hard race to predict. Apparently, third place has been easy in the last two editions. But as we said, Oscar Silva's a bit older now. What is your top three?
My top three, which I'll keep it the same as what I said in my video, just for the continuity. I think in third place will be Sergio Higuita. Second place will be Remco Evenepoel. And the winner will be the rising phoenix of Miguel Angel Lopez, out for revenge against
Oh,
Astana.
I like it.
Yeah, I think I can see it happening.
Yeah, no, that, yeah, given the split in team as well. No, I think that is a story that, yeah. Okay, just to keep it interesting and not repeat you, I'm gonna say Miguel Angel does have a good showing, but ultimately he only finishes third. And second, I wanted to put Remco, but no, I'll go for Remco win. Remco wins it, and second, Dani Martinez. So two different predictions there. But it should definitely be an interesting race. And yeah, if you haven't already, do make sure to check out Patrick's channel, as I mentioned before, and also the write-up that will be on the website as well very soon. So yeah, Patrick, very exciting. And any last words for this video? Any last words for this podcast?
Thanks for having me on, and yeah, I'm looking forward to this race, and there's plenty more early season races coming up over the next few months, so I'm sure that you'll be hearing me again sometime soon.
Yeah, thank you very much for listening. And of course, as always, subscribe to the channels, subscribe to the podcast. And of course, thank you for listening and have a nice day.